Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Hi, welcome to Women in WP. I'm Angela Bowman.
I'm Tracy Apps.
And I'm Amy Matheson.
Our guest today is Kathy Darling, joining us from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Kathy makes premium extensions for WooCommerce stores. Welcome, Kathy.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me.
We like to start off each episode asking our guests how they got into WordPress. How did you get started?
Ooh, I'm going to stretch the memory banks a little bit. I think the easiest explanation maybe is that I was, looking for some sort of job or, business where I could sell things online, sort of facilitate my poorly paying career as a handball athlete. And so I was trying to live the 4-hour work week lifestyle, and that got me into trying to build my own website, and that just kind of caught my attention. And of course I was like, wait, I need to change this. How do I change this? And I fell down the wormhole from there. I got into theme development, I think initially, as a direct result, okay, how do I build my website? And how do I tweak my website? And then how do I tweak other people's websites? At some point, I think it was one of my theme clients who started asking me, hey, how do I do this in WooCommerce? And I was like, I don't know, but I can find out. And so that sort of was the big fork in the road to turn off from theme work and switch to e-commerce work.
Wow. So what kind of WooCommerce plugins are you making?
Well, that's three. And so the first one is directly from that customer, that old client of mine who he wanted to sell his books because he was a preacher in Australia. So hooray for the internet connecting, people to the other side of the world. He wanted to sell his books, but he wasn't too concerned about making a huge profit. So they were donationware type things, you pay what you want, right? And so that's the first plugin I ever made from WooCommerce. It's called Name Your Price, where you get to enter, customers get to enter in the price that they want to pay for things, so.
And I use that plugin on many sites, Kathy, so thank you.
High five.
Yes, I'm super glad to hear that. A lot of people do use it. It's turned out to be way more popular than I could have ever imagined, considering my market research was literally posting, the one client who contacted me, and then me posting one GitHub issue, how do you do something, how do I change this price? And then someone else was like, if you write this, I will buy it. And I was like, okay, yes, I have two whole clients. Let's do it. I was visiting a friend in New Orleans, and that weekend turned out to be a whole month. And I just stayed and in between going on a happy hour tour around the entire town, I would write up this new plugin that I didn't know what, I didn't know what I was doing, but I told that client I would figure it out, and I did. So that was kind of, that was a big fork in the road, because then I started getting recurring income from that, and I had to manage it and improve it and maintain it. And I didn't have to do a whole lot of direct support in the very, very beginning, but now I handle all my own support. So.
Wow. That's really amazing.
Somebody buys the plugin. Are they buying it from you, or are they buying it from WooCommerce?
They're buying it from WooCommerce. So I'm a vendor in their marketplace.
Okay. But you're providing, if you need support for that plugin, they go to you and not to WooCommerce.
Well, that you go through WooCommerce and then it snakes its way to me. Basically you fill out your ticket at WooCommerce.com/my account, something. And because you pick, I'm having a problem with Name Your Price, which of course you would not be having a problem.
Of course not.
No, never, never.
It gets sent directly to me. So then I handle it. Yeah.
Okay. And then I'm just trying to wrap my brain around this whole, cause WooCommerce is such a big thing. It's there's so many different aspects to it and so many different plugins. And it's every time I do a WooCommerce site, it's somebody needs something, some other plugin I haven't needed before. And I have not used your plugin yet. So now I'm excited because I want to use it.
Cool. It's definitely been, I told you its origin story. What I think has been the most interesting thing to me is that's what motivated me to build it. But, you know, there's no predicting what customers are going to do with things. So, like, they buy it and they're using it. Turns out people use it a lot for donations, which wasn't even in my brain at all in terms of, like, this is what I should build it for. And then the one that I find really, really shocking is some people use it to make, like, a bill pay system.
Yep, we're going to do that. Page,
they just have one page on their website and the customer enters the amount they owe. And I'm like, again, mind-blowing a little bit, you know, what people will do with your product.
I just sent a link to it last week to my client for that exact same purpose.
Yes.
I love it. So you taught yourself just how to make plugins and you just kind of did that. And now you handle your own support. Hi. How much time is like support versus dev versus how does your day look?
I mean, my day's been a mess. this past year, today I'm stuck on like a PayPal issue with one of my other plugins, Mix and Match products. And I spent like the entire day up until now looking at that. You know, sometimes you just get into this. Some tickets just suck all of your soul out of you. And then some are ones you have seen before. So. I told you, obviously, name your price never actually breaks. And if it does, it's usually your theme. And so I kind of have this line in the back of my head that like, yeah, we need to check your theme, check for conflicts, because, you know, it's just not possible to be compatible with an infinite number of plugins out there. So I have kind of like a script for some things. And I feel guilty using a script, but I'm like, wait, if I'm giving this to you, it's because I actually think it really is the problem, not just an autoresponder. No, it's a little bit of a mess. I had to actually install an app called Cold Turkey or Cold Turkey to like literally block myself out of support in the mornings so that I could spend at least 2 hours in the morning just attempting to code. And I don't know about everybody else, but like my focus has been really dodgy for the past year. So, I had to block myself out of support and just sort of like limit when I actually could be answering support tickets so that I could like divide up the day a little bit more. Because as soon as I start doing support, you've got like four different things and your focus is totally shot. And I never come back to dev after that. So I try to put a little tiny bit of dev in first these days.
I like that strategy. You said it's cold turkey. I totally need one of those. I definitely my attention is like
it's like, oh, squirrel.
Exactly. I was like, you know, basically my ADD meds are like like a menu trying to steer the Titanic. And I was like, now because of everything going on, I was like, I don't know. But that's, I like that. And actually what I started doing is I close up my email and turn on like do not disturb. And then people are like, oh, I didn't hear from you all day. And I was like, yeah, because I closed my email.
I don't understand the words that you just said.
Yeah, how does that work?
See, there's a command. See, if you're on a Mac, it's command Q. And then you just do that and it goes away.
Wow. But then don't people just start texting you if you don't respond to their emails?
There's the do not disturb. And now I changed that button on my laptop so I can turn on do not disturb right away instead of hitting Siri.
Oh my goodness. That's like genius.
So you are this WooCommerce kind of expert in many respects. And now it's just like, you're only 2 hours away from me and I do a lot of WooCommerce things. And so I might just have to be your new best friend. And come run up Pike's Peak with you or something. But
I haven't done that one yet.
My friend
has done that. I haven't run up the incline. I haven't done any of the local like rites of passage.
Yeah, my friend's doing the Pikes Peak run this summer, so she's putting me to shame doing all these uphill runs. Like, you're running. How do you even run uphill? But you're...
Who does that? Why?
Steps, like...
Right.
No.
No.
Or 14,000 feet high.
I'm like, oh, right. You're running? No, maybe one step at a time and then breath. And then another step, then breath. There's no running.
The Cog Railway is reopening this summer. So the Cog Railway reopens. Like, if I'm going to the top, I'm taking the rail. Like,
that is amazing.
I can save my athletic endeavors for, like, the actual, you know, like, training and competition that I do have. I don't need to go running up mountains. Even though I have taken up hiking as, like, my pandemic hobby.
Yeah.
That's still just outdoor walking.
It is just right. You're not running up those hikes. Yeah.
What? Run up a hill? Like,
yeah. This is what we do in Colorado. Yes, these
hills
people
are for
sound like
at.
Words as well, but I still don't understand what that means.
No.
Yeah.
But I love that, like, so many of the women that we've interviewed in this podcast, like, web development came out of a necessity. Like, you saw a need and you did it. And so you did it because you needed to build a website for the national women's handball team, correct?
Yeah, I did also work on that. You know, like, handball is not super well known, and we just sort of were young and optimistic and determined, I think, to kind of do it ourselves. So we're like, we need a website. Obviously, it's 2005. And so we tried to build one. The very first one was built, I think we did it in Dreamweaver. You know, I did all the development stuff and my friend wrote all the content. We had probably our biggest argument when I wanted us to switch to something like a CMS. And then, you know, then it wasn't visual anymore. And she really liked that it was like visual in Dreamweaver, right? You could see what you were looking at if you had everything outlined in the tables. And then
tables.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're definitely using all tables. All
nested tables, table and a table and a table. Oh, that's taking me back.
I think we switched to Joomla was probably the one I found first, like before WordPress.
Me too.
And that was like, yeah, the big fight between us. I hate this. I can't see where anything is, and I'm like, but it's gonna make more sense in the long term. And it actually turned out to, eventually it became my career to be into like web development and CMS, but we didn't know that at the time.
That is so funny. So you actually are training though, and you said you're proudest of your Women's USA team handball performance at the Pan Am Games in 2019. You're accomplished on so many levels.
So first, I need somebody to explain to me exactly what handball is.
If only I had like a dollar every time I had to explain that to an American.
I mean, it's not dodgeball, but I need more information.
No, for sure.
Yeah, it's really big in Denmark. And so that was, yeah.
It's really big in Europe, especially the Nordic countries, but it's just not really well known here, unfortunately. Imagine soccer with your hands, I think, is usually the fastest way to get you to get a visual, or water polo, but no water, you know? So you have a ball that's like the size of a grapefruit. Yeah. And you like throw it to each other, and then you have to throw it into a goal that's like a small soccer goal. The goal is standing in the way. And then there's like a little zone, 6 meters wide, in front of the goal that you cannot be in. So you can't like dunk, I guess, unless you're some of the guys almost. Some of the men players can actually just about dunk because they can jump the 6 meters from the crease, I guess is actually the American like lacrosse way to think of it, into the goal. You know, I am an old lady, like I cannot jump 6 meters into the crease. So I must throw the ball from kind of far away.
How many people are on the team?
The roster is like 14, but on the court, it's 6 players plus a goalie, so 7.
Okay. I'm totally watching YouTube videos of handball tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. So it must be very, very much a team sport. You really have to cooperate to get that ball down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a very much a team sport. And, you know, like I grew up playing basketball and softball, and I even did a little track and field in college, but So that's kind of like inverse order of like team cohesiveness. But handball, I think, requires even more timing than even basketball. Just like you have to know where your teammate is at kind of all times and what they're doing and what are they going to do is that's the key.
So can the ball land on the ground or do you have to catch it? Like can you roll it?
I don't think there's any tactical advantage to rolling it. You can dribble a little bit, but again, it's faster to throw, to pass.
So that's why, because your teammate needs to be there to catch it, right?
Yeah. So that's usually what
I mean. If you want to win, anyway.
Well, yes, I mean, in the past we've been kind of not that good, and a lot of our weakness was related to not being able to catch very well. So yes, it's very bad for your team performance if you
don't catch it. Does it hurt your hands? Is it hard?
I mean, no, it's like, women's handball is like a size 2 soccer ball. So it's like a soccer ball.
So it's not too heavy. Mm-hmm.
It's not too heavy and it's not too hard. We put glue on it, or it's like a tree resin that makes it sticky.
Nice.
That actually, I even like that, and I can actually hold the ball like in my hand, whereas a lot of my teammates have like little mini hands, so they can't hold the ball because their hands don't go around the ball. So we like put glue, and some of the European players put a lot of glue, and like the ball doesn't even like roll on the floor anymore; it just goes, gets stuck.
If there's glue, how do you get it out of your hand?
It comes off. I mean, that first week back in preseason, like your skin also comes off, but eventually your these fingers toughen up a little bit. You just have to you throw it hard enough, it comes off. It's not
I suppose good. You throw anything hard enough, it's yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like if you can't fix it with a hammer, it just can't be fixed.
My goodness. I could talk about this all day.
Me too. Like, let's just skip WooCommerce.
Screw WordPress. Let's talk about handball.
Like, how did you get into handball? Because it isn't so big here in the U.S.
I was actually coaching basketball. I was an assistant coach at the State University of New York at Potsdam. One to two years after I'd graduated university. And it was just like a friend of the head coach was an alum from State University of New York at Portland, which is where the residency program used to be circa 2004 through 2007. And this woman was just kind of joking like around, hey, wouldn't it be hilarious if we like tried out for the national team of this sport no one knows anything about, no one knows the first thing about. And I don't know, I was still pretty young then. I was like, yeah. Let's do it. Called the coach. I probably emailed him first because I only call my mom. But I called up the coach and he's, you know, like, hey, I'm 6'2". I used to play basketball. I throw the javelin really far. And he's like, yeah, come down. And I thought that was probably like, I thought that was just kind of like a reflection of me. And over time, I kind of realized that we just needed a lot of people. So he probably said everybody should come down. But I did. I went and I tried out and on my third day of playing handball, I was playing in like a club match in Montreal with the U.S. team. And I had no idea what I was doing. The center back is just yelling at me like, shoot, damn it. And I'm like, okay. And it was just like the most fun thing I'd ever done. And here it is 2021, I think, right? And I'm like still thinking of doing it. So it's a blast to play. I wish it was more popular. I wish there were more opportunities, and because I think people love it. People love it when they see it, and they definitely love it when they try it. I don't think that wasn't unique to me. I saw a bunch of other teammates come in after me who all kind of had that same experience. They're like, "Oh, we can't raise our arm over our shoulder, but we're having so much fun."
Oh my gosh.
That's great. Okay, you can get back to WooCommerce stuff, but I love it. Okay, anyway.
No, I'm not going to talk about that.
Sorry, listeners. We hope you like handball, but if you don't, you will.
Well,
now.
You do now.
You do now. Yeah. Welcome. You're welcome to the fandom. There's 25 of us.
And this is. Yes. So if we're going back to WordPress WooCommerce, for WooCommerce, if you were giving advice to somebody just starting out with the WooCommerce store, what would be the top three things you'd tell them?
Someone who's starting their store or someone who's like developing something for a store?
Starting a store.
That's challenging because I don't actually make that many stores. I'm trying to help one of my teammates get set up with a store finally. I don't want to say no experience, no real experience running a store of my own. So
interesting. I would say
use the absolute least number of plugins and make the absolute least number of like modifications, really think about what you want instead of thinking like, oh, like let's just add all of the bells and whistles, try to keep it lean and mean and to get the least amount of friction between your customers and your site, I guess.
So I do a lot of theme development and stuff. So what kind, and I feel like I've done something with WooCommerce, but like, I don't know, because like I'll make custom themes. And so like you did theme development as well. How difficult is it for like, basically, cause do WooCommerce have themes too? Like, I don't even know. It's like a whole other world.
Recently started selling themes in their marketplace. I want to say, again, with the whole, I'm not actually running stores. So I'm usually running 2020 or storefront. I think that's their like default theme. So I'm usually running a default theme, which does mean I miss some things sometimes from some of the more popular themes. We'll be doing who knows what. I think the thing and this is obviously my bias as a plugin developer who has to do support when your theme is doing something janky with my plugin, right? So this is clearly biased. But the more you try to customize or the more you deviate from WooCommerce's default, the more you open yourself up to conflicts and compatibility issues down the road. Like, because like I said, I'm developing on 2020, right, and on storefront, so and they both of those don't override any classes, or they don't override any of the WooCommerce templates, they don't do anything unexpected. So there's one theme that doesn't handle the mix and match plugin of mine very well, because I have like mix and match is basically like pick a six pack of wine or something, right? Here's a case, fill it up with six things, check out. But it displays all the things you can pick from in a grid, and it inherits the WooCommerce grid. So that works 99 times out of 100. But then here's some other theme that instead of using WooCommerce grid, which is what an unordered list, I think, and then style each list element, make a grid. It's a pretty common pattern, but this one theme just kind of came in and was like, we're gonna turn that all into divs. So everything is a div now. Like, you get a div, you get a div, you get a div, and my grid's not picking that up, and it looks janky. And then I get the support ticket. Like, why doesn't this look right? And I was like, well, your theme went a little nuts with the divs.
That is so wise, because I actually do build a lot of WooCommerce sites. And 100% your advice is simplest theme. There's a lot of fancy themes that do fancy things, and they will cause problems with plugins that are, especially since everyone wants to install a million plugins with their WooCommerce site, then you better keep the theme part of it pretty simple.
I think I learned that lesson really hard when I was still doing some theme development, maybe very early in the plugin development. Like, the plugin wasn't full-time, or definitely wasn't a full-time salary to start. And WooCommerce 3.0 came out and they did massive changes to all of their templates. And lots of sites broke because lots of sites had themes with like 2.x templates, right? And they just weren't compatible anymore. So yeah, I rescued, I think they sold Biscotti. I hope they're still in business. Because I think they sent me some Biscotti afterwards. They're like, thank you. But they contacted me and they're like, this, our site's broken, you know, help. And largely it was just all of these templates were outdated and someone had copied every template over. So that's like my number one suggestion. I think I made that suggestion today because I'm in the WooCommerce community Slack more than I should be procrastinating most of the time. But you know, override a template as like the last resort. And only override the ones you need. So in that case, someone was like, I'm gonna just copy every template into the theme, boom, and change one thing in one template. I was like, oh my gosh, why have you done this? You know, I had to go through and like diff check every template. And I ended up eventually I deleted all of them. I was like, you don't need any of these templates. None of them are doing anything like really necessary. Sometimes you'll get a little bit of a style tweak. I'm like, well, okay, maybe we could do that via CSS. Or there are lots and lots of hooks and filters. There's way more now than there used to be. You can make theme modifications that way and be, well, you're not gonna ever be 100% future proof, right? But you'll be slightly more future proof than that one theme that, like I said, overrode every single template in existence.
And that's really good advice because like when I first started, I didn't know anything because like all of the help documentation was like, oh, and then just do this. And I was like, I had no idea. So I would just download all these things and look at these things, whatever, and this and compare this and see what that was and do that and stuff. But now that I know of like what child themes and you have what you just have the things that overwrite things, like now that makes sense. But that was a learning curve for sure. Yeah. So I can imagine there's some out there.
I mean, that's well documented that WooCommerce uses this template override system, and it, you know, which WordPress itself has a little bit of that too, right? You just said child themes, you can override certain templates.
Exactly.
You know, and it's great when you need it, but it's like the, just use a little bit here and there for some spice, like just add a little bit of pepper to the sauce. You don't want to add too much or you.
Yeah. Most things you can do with the hooks. Yeah. You really don't need, you really don't need to ever touch those. Rarely need to touch those templates.
That's my probably number one rule then, like to the absolute least with the templates as you can, just because, I mean, no developer can test against every theme. No developer can test against every plugin. It's just, you know, you were asking me what I do with my day, and like, I don't have time for that. You know, there's an infinite number of plugins and an infinite number of themes and an infinite number of like variations of stores. Like, what are they all doing? You said, you know, somebody mentioned that each store needs like a different slate of plugins to do things. And it's like, yeah, because everything is unique. So the simpler you can keep everything, the better your odds of like working together with other things.
I'm so old that I actually remember a time when some people, never myself, I would never have done this, would just go into the plugin files and just, you know, edit them wherever somebody needed editing, you know, without actually even copying them to a theme or anything like that. I mean, you guys don't know anybody that would have done that, right?
No, asking for a friend.
No. I'm asking for a friend. I was young and new. And I needed this to change something. I don't have any specific examples, but I'm pretty sure that that's something that I've done.
Yeah. And then you end up with, then you end up with a forked plugin and you're locked in. And it's
weird. No, but that's great advice to only copy the template that you need. Because I could see why somebody would think, oh, I'm just going to take all these because I don't know which one I might want to change. Mm-hmm. And then they get in there and then they never think to, you know, remove them. So that's actually, I think, really helpful advice.
Yeah, because then you have to call me, or not me anymore, I guess, but you have to call somebody, you know, the helpline. Like,
yeah, because if you don't, especially people, like, because when I first started, I remember Because I had this learning curve to understand like how themes worked, like, and that took like, I don't know, I still like I feel like I fumbled through that through like maybe a couple of years, so like maybe into like, you know, oh, 5 or 6 or something like that. So I was still trying to figure that out. So like that, that concept of that I don't have to have this file because the file that's done through the theme, because I was just I started off with HTML and CSS, and so I'd create an HTML file, and then I would make some things on there, and then I would create another HTML file because I wanted another page, and then I had to do all that stuff. So that's that's definitely a learning curve for many.
And there's a lot of learning curves in WordPress in general.
Yeah, that whole inheritance thing, that's like once you get what a theme does, but then you get what a child theme does and what a child theme does for the templates of plugins. Like it's huge, or just even what a template is. Like it's a lot for people to take on. And so you can understand, I guess, you probably have some empathy for those people who come to your support with these really crazy things going on. Like, yep, I see how you went down that rabbit hole.
I like to think I approach support with a fair amount of empathy, because yeah, they're not most of the one. Actually, I guess my split is about, feels like 50-50, like 50% of the time it's someone like the store owner, and then 50% of the time it's me, the developer who's working on the store. But for sure, like the store owners especially, that they don't know the ins and outs of my plugin the way I do, and I can't expect them to know it like I do. And they sometimes, the way they ask things or the things they're trying to do are revealing. Like, okay, there's something that is not clear about this particular error message because you are not the first person to contact me about it. Or, you know, I also sometimes get feature requests like, hey, because I like circling back to what I said in the beginning, like, you can't predict what people want to do with your stuff. And they seem to really be determined to find new things to do with your stuff. And so they'll ask like, hey, does it do this? I was like, where on the sales page did it ever insinuate that it maybe even did something close to that? But actually it's kind of cool. Like I just hadn't, you know, I hadn't thought of that yet. So we'll see.
How do you, so like, how much of like that kind of analytics and that, because I know you probably can get a lot of that like experience and, you know, feedback from support tickets, but do you ever get any like other sort of like analytics or something to help you if you do have that wonderful time to actually do development and add things? Like how do you get all of that, or is it just support that gives you that kind of data or information?
Yeah, it's just support for right now. That's the only time I'm in contact with the people who use my plugin, is when something goes wrong, unfortunately. Again, not with my plugin, of course. But yeah, that's the only time I get to interact with the customers. So it's the only time I get to hear, well, we would like it if it would also do this, or could you fix this? And I kind of, not very high tech, I guess, but I just kind of like keep a little mental note, which is a dangerous place to be keeping things these days. But like, okay, this is like the 10th person that asked about that particular feature. Like, maybe I'll get to it. So I've got a couple really cool ideas, especially for Mix and Match is by far the most complex of the 3 plugins that I have. And so that's kind of the one where I'm getting the most feedback. That's the one that goes wrong most of the time, or is not quite what people want. They want something just a little bit different. But some of the features they've come up with are really cool. I'm just like, oh, I don't know how I'm doing that as like, you know, a one woman band. I am kind of dabbling with not being a one woman band, but for the moment that's mostly the case, which means there's only so much you can do in the day.
Yeah, it was funny because you're that Mix and Match. I remember I had a client that wanted that thing and like to make these gift baskets and all this other stuff. And I was like, I didn't have like right on the tip of my tongue that. So now I do. I made myself a note, because that really is, I can see a lot of applications and people that wanted to make gift baskets and stuff like that and send them from Milwaukee, you know, themed stuff. And I was like, that's Perfect. There it is.
Yeah. And in the e-commerce world, it's called kitting. And for a long time, there wasn't anything that did kitting, K-I-T-T-I-N-G.
No.
Yeah. And I remember looking for a kitting. Yeah. Kitting. Okay. K-I-T-T-I-N-G. So it just, you put it, it's a way of kit. Kitting.
That's,
yeah. So you're creating a kit.
Not a kitten.
And unfortunately, you're not making baskets of kittens, but we're just.
Oh, my
God. That would be really nice.
So that would be a big seller.
The shipping would be a bitch, though.
Yeah. We really need another plug-in for shipping kittens. But
I think that would be local pickup, I think, only on that one.
Yes.
Yeah. So I remember I had a client back in the day who needed to kit things, and there wasn't a plugin. And actually, I didn't even know about your mix and match. And now I'm so excited because that is just a huge demand in the e-commerce field to be able to. Yeah. Love that. Yeah,
I think there's you know, I think there's several plugins that do that now, but
yours is the best.
I like to think mine's pretty good. I don't know. I like to think it's simplified. It doesn't try to do too much, you know, which kind of keeps with my one ethos of not trying to do too much, but also two, like, kind of keeps support sort of manageable, you know, like I'm not trying to do 100, you know, it's not a plugin that does 100 things, so 100 things hopefully aren't going wrong, except of course for this weird PayPal issue I have going on today. But you know, I've only got the one weird thing going on today, not 100. So
I maybe have
a chance of. Actually, I probably don't really have a chance of solving it after this call. But and between this call and my workout, maybe I'll get it. I probably won't get it today, but I'll come back to it tomorrow.
So I know you said that your plugins don't break. But I wonder how much do you have to update your plugins to make sure that they're not going to break and they're going to continue to function well?
That's a good question. I don't know that I could quantify it, but I'm always keeping an eye on WooCommerce Core, right? Because all my plugins are basically satellites or child plugins in a way of WooCommerce. So if WooCommerce changes something dramatically, like I said, the 3.0 was kind of traumatic for some users. And it was a big job for me too, because all of a sudden I had to change like my entire code base, but I also had to still maintain 2.x compatibility. So I haven't had anything as drastic as that 3.0 update in terms of like the amount of work it's taken for me, but there's always aspects of things that like, I just can't test every possible scenario. So there are things I miss. I can't test with every possible plugin. So, sometimes compatibility will break. The plugin to plugin, like cross compatibility, is probably the most difficult thing I do. And you have to kind of decide, you have to draw a little bit of a line of what you are going to try to be compatible with. I'll give it a good old college try if it's also in the marketplace with me. And if it's not in the WooCommerce.com marketplace, it sounds mean to say, but like good luck in life. Like I just can't do every plugin. But that's the hardest part. Like I said, looking at other plugins, trying to maintain, like Name Your Price, for a good example would be Name Your Price and product add-ons, right? They go really well together, especially they make a really nice bill pay system. So I kind of have to keep an eye on that too. But I won't always know. Because I just don't have the bandwidth to keep up with every single commit they make. I might miss one and then someone will come in and then I'll have to kind of go look. So there's this constant plate spinning of checking the different bits of compatibility you have. Like I said, the compatibility with WooCommerce Core itself, I haven't seen anything major in a while. There's, I think the issue I am working on today brought up, I revealed a different issue of mine. I'm like, oh, curses. Like there's a little bit of a rounding issue that I need to resolve for mix and match. You start throw in taxes and discounts and things start getting complicated fast. So that's kind of consistent, but I wouldn't say that's in general, that's not like, don't spend your entire week doing that. So I try to balance it out a little bit. Obviously I have to, like, support's the one thing I have to do. I took a long weekend last weekend to go to New Mexico and hike around by myself. But I actually, like, took 2 days where I didn't take my laptop, and I intentionally have removed all, like, work things from my phone. So yeah, I went like 4 whole days without looking at my support tickets, and they piled up. And so yesterday was unfun, but you know, that was nice to kind of disconnect. But in general, like, support's a couple of hours, maybe you get a couple of hours of dev, and that's good enough most of the time.
And are you planning any new WooCommerce plugins?
I always wanted to make a lot more, especially when I saw, like, especially after the initial success of, like, Name Your Price was, like, set my bar too high, I think. In the sense that, like, it now sells very well, and support's not really that demanding. So I was like, oh, I should do a lot more of these. Of course, you know, hitting the idea that is simplistic enough to not generate a lot of support requests, but is needed enough to generate a lot of sales. I might have missed the boat on that now, you know, now that it's like 9-10 years later. I don't know, I had one that I was kind of working on recently, and I think I got the code done, but it was very simplistic. So I don't know that it would, like, I might release it. I need to write the documentation, which is every developer's worst nightmare. I need to write the sales page and the documentation, and then I could submit it. And you know, then you kind of see, again, I think I did less market research this time than I did on when I initially made Name Your Price. So you don't know, I don't know how well it would do, and it would warrant even.
Are you at liberty to tell us what it does?
Sure. It was, it's actually kind of one of the, again, like I said, I listen to all the customers who come in via support. And one of the things they were constantly asking me in Mix and Match is like, hey, I need to sell like a box of cookies, but I need to sell, the chocolate chip cookies can be sold in packs of 6. But then you need to be able to sell one cookie as part of the box of cookies, where you could also pick chocolate chip cookies, peanut butter cookies, oatmeal raisin if you really want. So what I was thinking was, there's not really a way to do that. There are several ways to do it, right? There's always a better mousetrap type of thing. So I was thinking, all right, we're going to make chocolate chip cookie a variable product. And it's going to vary on a format / size attribute, right? Where you have one unit, one cookie, and then we're not going to make that published or something like that. We're not going to make that public. So then you buy, then your other format is 6. And so, but if you buy a 6-pack of chocolate chip cookies, you need to reduce 6 units of cookies from your stock. And right now when you buy a variation, the variation only reduces 1 unit of stock from either the, depending on how you have your variable product set up, you are either tracking stock at the variation level or tracking stock as all part of like a parent pile of stock. So it was, you know, there's not much to it. It just says like, oh, this, we need to, I don't have a good name for it yet, but it like needs to multiply, this variation is worth this many multiples of stock, and we're pulling that from the parent stock. So
Kathy, you have to do this because I'm on the WooCommerce Facebook community constantly, and this has come up repeatedly, and people ask this question, and then all of us, you know, we're so smart, people come in and say, well, you have to do it like this because it's going to reduce the stock like this, or you have to just change the way that you do your inventory to, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And, you know, we tell people that they're wrong for wanting it to reduce the 6 by 6 cookies. We say, well, that's a product in itself that's a 6-pack. And so that reduces that 6-pack by 1. And that's how you need to track your inventory. But for a lot of people, that's just not how it works. So you need to do this. I think it would be fabulously successful. You heard about it first on this show.
Yes. It's like woo math.
Yeah, no, it would be great. Woo, yeah, that you could have a field for the stock that just would allow you to reduce by a multiple, and 100%.
That's all it is right now. Yeah. You know, if you looked at variations, you get a little form for each individual variations, and it's just a field that says this is the multiple, and then when you buy, it reduces it by that, or if you refund, this was one of the parts that was sticky, but when you refund, it had to put all six, for example, back. Although, who's going to be refunding cookies? I don't know. But no,
I don't want to hang out with them.
The code part is done. There shouldn't be a ton of documentation because there's not a lot going on. It does need a good name. So if you think of any after this show, definitely message me because that's the part I'm stuck on right now.
I will help you in any way I can. If you want to shoot me some stuff to read or proofread or anything, I'm 100% supportive of this.
At the moment, but yes. There's just code right now. There's just code. But hey, I've just done a significant amount of market research. Like, consider my market research over.
This is done. So. It's done. This has been it.
Yeah, this is it. That's enough. That's all I need.
What's it called when you get a group of people together to do a marketing group? We're a focus group here.
I was going to go with mastermind, but that's not exactly.
Yeah, this is your marketing focus group right here. Okay. So you also are involved in the WordPress community. Do you do talks and attend WordCamps? And
I, in the before times, I went to like a WordCamp or two. I went to the US one like 2 or 3 years in a row. And I finally got dragged like kicking and screaming into giving a talk last year at WooSesh, completely virtual, but it was brutal. Oh my God, the whole week's worth of work replaced by preparing a talk. I mean, it was the first one I've ever done and probably the first public speaking I've done since like, I don't know, college or high school or something like that. So it was challenging. And I had a lot of good feedback. People seemed to like it. I'm just like, I don't know if I want to do that again. That was a lot. We'll see.
I always find that the preparation for that is much more than I expect it to be.
Yeah. I've been told, and I don't know that I could, maybe everyone's lying to me, but I've been told that like your second and third talk is not as hard in terms of like the amount of preparation because you don't need as much. And I was like, that's
not true either. They're lying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you all confirmed that for me because
they're just trying to get you to join the cult.
Yeah.
Unless you are doing the same talk.
Yeah, unless you're doing the same talk.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much longer my talk about like hooks and filters is really going to be relevant because everybody's doing React and I am so far behind. So.
Oh gosh, we can't even go there. There's not enough time. And so speaking of time, it's been wonderful having you on the show today. Before we go, can you tell us where people can find you online?
My website is kathyisawesome.com, and you can also find me at Twitter at Kathy_darling. Awesome. Or I guess, I don't know, a couple other places. Those are probably the best places. You know, I'm on WordPress as Helga the Viking. That's probably in forums and in chat, Slack stuff. I'm sometimes Helga the Viking, but yeah, that's me.
I love it.
Kathy is awesome.
Kathy is awesome.
That's why I'm kind of like, I need to rebrand, but I can't because this just prompts people to tell me that I'm awesome. So I like this. It's like every day you get a little back, tap on the back.
I love it. Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womenandwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.